shots of Patron.
Rest in peace, Cord. Rest in peace.
Aww.
Welcome to the Cleveland Podcast with Josh Chen and Ed. I'm Josh.
I'm Chen.
I'm Ed.
And we are back. You can find us online at GleefulPodcast.com, on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast. I'm at Josh Purnell. She's at Jenny B. Creative. He's at Edward Giordano. We opened up with Marry You, which Jennifer and I have been playing a lot because we've been going to weddings. A lot. Play this song on the way to the wedding.
And funny enough, the last one we went to wasn't even based on anything as substantial as Patron.
It's horrible. my favorite line in this song is it the look in your eyes or is it this dancing juice? One, that's a stupid line. Two, I always hear dancing Jews, which is actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
That they inspired you to get married.
That's Rachel's line, too.
Hey.
So that's why I'm kind of like, but I thought it would have been dancing shoes. Like, shoes.
Ooh, that's funny.
Shoes sound
But this funny. Song is about getting drunk, and then when you run out of other things to do, because apparently
why
the Tito's
not?
Clear, let's go ahead and get married. That sounds like a great idea. Ed, how are things in the Midwest?
Things are hurricane-less and earthquake-less. Shockingly for Midwest Indiana, for sure.
Yeah.
In terms of like classes, physical chemistry 2 is as hard as it sounds, and modern dance is fun. That's fun.
You're taking modern dance?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I
was going to say, is it, you know, sorry, is have you done dancing classes before?
Oh, no. Never.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Well, I figured with my newfound, slightly slimmer body, I'm like, I might as well do things, right?
Good for you. Oh, that sounds like fun.
Jennifer, how's work for you?
when I'm on my fourth case of 5-hour energy tomorrow night, I'll give you a really funny answer.
Okay. I'll give you some time to think about
it. Do those work, though? Like, I've never actually done one. I was a big Red Bull person back in the 07.
Mm-hmm.
But I've tried sworn energy drinks off, practically. But how is the 5-hour energy?
I actually like it. I never drink the whole thing just straight down. And so I'll just kind of, you know, sip it over the course of, you know, 20 minutes or so, because it really tastes like crap. But I will say, it keeps me awake. It keeps me alert. I don't feel at all buzzed or hyper or anxious. And, you know, like back in college, I used to do, you know, no dose or in, what was that other one? Jolt Cola. So this is definitely a calmer, you know, what is the word? When you've got an upper, what's a, who are you looking at me funny?
I'm sorry. I have to go pick up my eyes because they rolled across the room. I feel like
so
humanity survived
fine.
For hundreds
Work
of years
fine.
Without energy
Thanks for
drinks.
Asking, Josh.
Yes. Well, you haven't been
hundreds
like
of years
crazy.
Ago, the world was moving at the same pace, Josh, so back off.
Well, we are back. We are going to discuss ships tonight. We are going to talk about our favorite Glee ships.
Before we get into the... Before we go rolling in the deep with the gleeful topics.
Nice.
I know, right? I was wondering if I could do basically an album plug, because, you know, that's what I do.
Yes, plug an album.
Okay, so one of the tracks I'm working on, and this is it isn't the first single, and I always get so pissed at like, artists when they talk about, like oh, I'm going to talk about this one song, but it's not like any of the other songs, so... Here's that one song, and I want to talk about the song that's not like any of the other songs, because, you know, that it's like logical. So the song is called Live Evil, which is a palindrome, which is like, if you read it backwards or forwards, it's the same thing, like race car or Ed is on no side. took me a while to come up with that one, and so it's inspired by, it's like the main inspirations for that song, it's like nerdcore rap, And that's like, and I also want to incorporate some like pop elements and electronic elements. So yeah, that's it. I guess Liz Evil. No. Are you intrigued?
No. So where can we hear this?
No, but
oh,
I figured I would keep telling. I figured like I would keep saying things.
You're teasing us.
I'm teasing you. I'm hoping that this way I'll keep myself on track with working diligently on it, so I don't get caught up in all my other projects. So I'm like, must work on this because I have to talk about progress with it next week. So there has to be at least some progress every week.
Got it. No, it totally makes sense. You talk about it in people.
This is how you're keeping yourself on task. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll do some lyrics from that song next week. I'll do some lyrics next week. There you go. That's a plan.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be able to sell this so well, but I sound super awkward, Panda. So moving on. So Glee.
Today. I'm sorry, was that Aqua Panda or Awkward Panda?
Awkward Panda. Aqua Panda would be interesting, though.
I'm just picturing a little panda with his face crammed into a snorkel gear. That's awesome.
That's adorable.
Well, Glee is currently filming, so lots of wacky spoilers are pouring out. And we try to be pretty spoiler light on the show. But we do have, some very light things. Let's see. This is, we do talk about casting on the show, and so, or on our podcast. And so here's a little bit of casting. We all know Damien is coming to Glee, but,
yay!
It has been reported that Damien will be shacking up with Britney's family.
Oh, I bet you were going to say just Britney.
With Britney.
Well, I mean, that's inevitable.
Yes, which is kind of writes itself, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that has come out. It's being called a rock solid Glee source on E! Online.
That's kind of funny though, because you think about like this is his first. You know, if it does come in as an exchange student, his introduction to America is going to be through the eyes of Britney.
That's why I think it's awesome.
That's great.
I don't think there's any better way to introduce a character like Damien. We continue to kind of hypothesize what we're going to get from Damien and Samuel. And then, of course, Lindsay and...
Alex.
Alex, thank you, at some point in the near future. But, you know, Damien seems to write himself. The other wacky news about Britney is, has everyone seen this cover... This magazine cover, More Magazine, with Julie Bowen on the cover, everyone says that she looks exactly like Heather Morris. And often saying that they're separated at birth. Jennifer, do you have an opinion on that one?
Oh, okay. So you sent it to me quicker than I could open, than I could search for it.
Sorry, I would have thought it came up because it was all over. Oh, no, they didn't.
Huh.
What? No, I've honestly not been keeping up with Oh No They Didn't lately.
Yeah, me too, Ed. Thanks.
Well,
apparently somebody's got some time on their hands.
I know, right? I don't know about Josh and Mr. Has Time to Read Oh No They Didn't, but I am crazy busy.
You know, I'll just chalk it up to research. So,
I'm a writer. Yeah. I have to take breaks during the day, or my head will explode.
This is such an odd thing because. This picture doesn't look like Julie Bowen at all. Like, they look like they're trying to make her look 16. And, I mean... And then the picture of Heather Morris... Yeah, I guess it kind of looks like her. Huh. In this picture, yes, they do look alike, but I do not think either picture looks like the respective person.
Hmm. Well, you can find that online on the cover of More Magazine. It's
or wetpaint.com.
Or wetpaint.com, yes. And it's been going, making the rounds. Lea Michele is being honored for her work with PETA. She will be honored at an award ceremony presented by Lifetime on September 23rd at the Beverly Wilshire Four Seasons Hotel. It's a nice hotel.
Oh, very nice.
She will be honored with Olivia Wilde, Eva Longoria, and acting icon Annette Bening, as well as DreamWorks studio partner and CEO Stacey Snyder.
Wow.
We've heard a lot about Lea Michele's work as a vegan and with animals and protecting those types of things.
Is she going to appear in some ad with just lettuce cups covering her body parts? Wasn't it?
Sure hope so. Wait, what?
I'm pretty sure Pamela Anderson did something like that years ago.
This is when I found out Jason Segel was writing the new Muppets movie, and I said, that was my dream. And Derek, my best friend, said, I didn't know that was your dream. And I said, I know it wasn't a dream I was allowed to have. This is how I feel about Lea Michele wearing an outfit that's nothing but lettuce cups. That's fantastic. We also have Jane Lynch coming to host the Emmys. Now, they asked Jane Lynch if the Glee cast will be involved in the Emmys. And she said, I pitched a couple of ideas that do include the Glee cast. She won't say what they're doing. They say she hasn't finalized it, and we don't want to give anything away. But, of course, the Glee cast will be there. Now, they already had the Glee cast open the Emmys, right? A couple years ago when Jimmy Fallon was hosting.
Wasn't it last year?
Was that last year?
That was such an incredible.
It was a fantastic sequence. So having the Glee cast on, I mean, I worry that they would end up just repeating themselves, right?
Well, I mean, if they're on during the show, I'm sure it has a different. I don't know. Different. They'll have a different purpose, you know. I don't think they'll do the exact same thing. I mean, last year they were kind of making fun of themselves and always being in the predicament where they had to perform to, you know, get stuff or or do crazy things to be able to perform. So, you know.
You can find that last year's opening on Hulu, and it is epic.
Or YouTube.
Yes.
Oh, it's so much fun. I watched it again the other day.
It's quite classic. Now, did anybody catch Cory Monteith's tweet where he's trying to sell his couch? Yeah, Cory Monteith tweeted a picture of his couch. He wrote, doing a little spring cleaning around the house. We got this couch to get rid of. Any takers? It's super crappy.
Wow.
I'm thinking he got a torrent of responses about this couch.
Yeah, I'm sure there are lots of people who are willing to drive anywhere and pay anything for that sofa.
Right? For Cory Monteith's couch, exactly.
Cory Monteith slept here.
Exactly.
Because we know he did.
Yes, I would think Cory Monteith and lots of his drunk friends probably slept on that couch. Without question. Now, we have this audio clip here. This is from Lea Michele, and she was asked about the new season of Glee.
They're really kind of doing sort of a back-to-basics season, really focusing on it being very similar to, like, a Glee season one. And you know, that's so exciting. The first script was amazing. I absolutely love it. A lot of songs that have not been on the charts in a while, but were hits in the past. And I love doing stuff like that. I think that that's so cool. And, you know, it's some of our senior years, so we want to make it, you know, great. And see what it's like to be, like, you know, a senior in high school. Don't they get to, like, skip class and stuff like that?
Yeah. Right? Senior Ditch Day.
Yes,
senior.
Right?
There's got to be an episode called Senior Ditch Day.
They better, right?
Oh, we got a grad night at Disneyland.
Now, that was from Fox All Access, and it didn't mention that some of the other casts were included back there. But Lea Michele kind of weighing in on what she thinks the theme for season three will be, which is a topic that we discussed a little bit last week. And we had some other listeners who also weighed in on the topic of what the theme will be in season three. Let's take a listen to Kate.
Hi, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is Kate. I was just calling in because I just listened to your podcast about the finale and about season three themes. And I think that this season's going to be all about goodbyes, and it's going to be all sad and sappy for a few episodes. And I don't know, I'm kind of okay with that, but kind of not. And Ed, I thought when you said about Rachel Berry getting rejected from Juilliard, I have a feeling that Rachel Berry's definitely getting rejected from some colleges, but I also foresee her, like, getting rejected from every college. I think that would be hilarious to watch. But that's just me. That's just me remembering my high school experience and when the girl who thought she had it all together got rejected from, like, every school she applied to because she reached too far. Anyway, whatever. The other thing I wanted to say is about the Glee Project. I'm not really happy that all four won. I thought that was kind of stupid and kind of made me want to punch Ryan Murphy a little bit more than I already did. But do you think that it will be harder to see these kids as characters now that we know so much about them personally? Because, you know, like, I've grown to know these people as characters. Like, Damien is Damien. Hannah is Hannah. And I don't really know how easy it would be to see someone that we know so well as themselves, to see them as a character. So, again, love the show. I know last week someone said something about watching you while you mow, and I also, or listening to you while they mow the grass, and that's what I do too. So, kind of like a little niche, I guess. All right, have a great day.
That's a really good point, actually. And what were you going to say, Jennifer?
Well, I was just thinking we could put that as our tagline. You know, Josh, Jen, and Ed, there to help you mow lawns. You know. That could be our claim to fame.
But yeah, listener Kate brought up a really good point about the actors from the Glee Project.
Yeah.
Really, about the Glee Project, it was kind of fixing them into a character, and it'll be hard to see them on Glee as anything other than that character. Mm. And, you know, Glee really, by casting actors out of nowhere for the first couple seasons, they managed to give us, you know, people that we didn't have preconceived notions about, or at least not a lot of preconceived notions about. And it was definitely a challenge. I don't know, Ed, you've followed shows with, or you watch a lot of these competition-based reality shows. Is this an issue you've seen pop up before in shows where the character that someone portrays on the reality show just follows them for the rest of their creative time?
I mean, well, it's different with Glee Project because lots of the shows I watch, Project Runway, like, it isn't like they're going on, they're going on to make clothes, on, I mean, I suppose the best example of this is either American Idol or Platinum Hit, where people, like, it kind of, like, if you developed a reputation for being a diva or being hard to work with, that could probably be a downfall in the future, but I don't, like, Glee Project is unique in the fact that you're earning a spot on a TV show,
yeah,
and you fall in love with them as a person. But I honestly believe Ryan Murphy is going to do what he did with a lot of these characters, like with a lot of people who didn't have characters written for, like the Kurtz and the Britneys, and just take who he thinks they are, and then just like make it more interesting. Like their character on Glee. On Glee will seemingly be a natural extension of themselves. Don't see it being an issue.
That definitely seemed to be the pitch he was going for. But there are people that'll be a little tougher. I mean, there was an interesting interview that I sent to Jennifer about the girl, Lindsay, that Lindsay gave, where she said, "My entire life I've been an actress, and so I, you know, as soon as they gave me a character, I took it, and then each week I'd try to be whatever character suited the piece better." So when people, you know, her argument was when Ryan Murphy kept looking at me and saying, "Who are you?" The answer was, "I'm an actress. I'm whatever you particularly need me to be." So it'd be interesting to see who she becomes on the show.
It's so weird. There's like, I felt like the Glee Project was like a little much to America's Next Top Model. Like the girl has to want it, and she has to be nice, and she has to be the complete package. She can't be fake. She has to be real. She has to be interesting, but not full of herself. I'm like, okay, Ryan Murphy. Like, what he wants is a character handed to him on a silver platter, and what these people were giving them was just was themselves or the character of the song that they were trying to be. So,
well, Looney Asa Lovegood made an incredibly good comment, an incredibly telling comment in the chat room just now. She said, "I already wrote up Damien's story in my head. I think I might be sad if it changes." And honestly, I think that's what's going to happen to all four of these Glee Project kids. They're, by the time they get to the show, we are going to have debated and discussed, and everyone who's seen the Glee Project is going to already have in their head who Damien is going to be on the show, who Samuel is going to be on the show, and if they're not, we will be disappointed. We'll all be disappointed if it turns out that, you know, Samuel is not quite the character that we expected of him, or not quite the character he played on the Glee Project. I think we're going to struggle for a little while and have a hard time, trying to rectify what we thought they'd be and what they end up being.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are both right. I think that Ryan Murphy was extremely obvious about what he wanted or what characteristics he liked about these actors and why he felt that they would make good characters on his show. So I don't think he's going to stray too far, but I think, you know, it's going to be maybe like a more heightened or more of a caricature of the person. And then again, with all the feedback that they were getting during the competition, they were kind of being molded into being these characters anyhow. So
yeah,
they kind of couldn't escape it. And now I just think that that's going to make their job easier, because I mean, if they come in and then if they bring Samuel in, and you know, and he's this, you know, real like lughead jock or something like that, or you know, a real kind of awkward dorky guy with glasses, I mean, it's not going to work anyhow. So I think he definitely chose the different characters that he want and knew he could fit into a character on the TV. So
there is a seamless transition.
I think so, yeah. I can't see them deviating too far from anything we've already seen them do.
Well, we had a listener, Russell, also weighed in on this topic. Here's listener Russell.
Hey, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is Russell Patterson from Long Island, New York. Love the podcast. I'm a big fan, and I've been listening for a while. I actually want to talk about a couple of things based off the last podcast. The first thing in general is when we were talking about the Glee project. With Samuel, I know we're trying to figure out where he could fit in into the Glee universe. And I know everybody has their stereotype, but I see Samuel preferably as the kind of new mystic, you know, the kind of nomad who kind of just beats to his own drum. He's the, you know, the tormented rocker kind of piece, you know, and he's just looking to find a place to, you know, to have his voice heard. And I think he gets roped into the Glee Club that way. So that was that. Talking about the themes for, you know, this season with that one person that called in, the piece that I see is I liked Ed's part about rejection, but I don't know about you guys, but I've seen pieces throughout this past season with Karofsky, with Dave Karofsky, the football player. And I don't know about you guys, but I honestly feel like this season that, and what I expected this last season, I thought what was going to happen was he was going to finally come out to his parents, and his parents would look at him the wrong way, and, you know, the father might freak out or hit him or something. But, you know, with a lot of the current topics being that people, especially kids who are coming out being gay and being the ridicule and not being able to handle the burden, I thought that Karofsky was actually going to kill himself. Mm-hmm. I know that's, you know, unfortunately that's happened in recent years. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. So love the show, and hope to hear myself on the podcast, and keep up the good work, guys. Thanks. Bye.
And you did hear yourself on the podcast. It is that's true awesome. That yeah. Glee, as many issues as it takes on, it still kind of is playing with a softball. We've yet to see like actual drug use. We've yet to see like actual life and death. And something like that would definitely see Glee go into a much heavier, much more serious direction. And you know, a direction that the entire It Gets Better campaign has really been attacking head on. So yeah, that's a pretty big that would be interesting to see if the show went that direction. I mean, that would be, as Houseaholic just said in the chat room, hella dark. but yes, I definitely think we'll see more Karofsky this season. I mean, we have to, right? I mean, he's so good. And somebody made a comment, if you were to pick, like, who was the acting superstar of season two, Karofsky's up there. Max Adler acted his ass off this season.
I mean, and he kind of had to, because we were seeing different sides of him for the first time. I mean, he was such a one-dimensional caricature in the first season. So he had to.
Yeah.
And he did a great job.
Well, let's go ahead and...
I'm like a terrible person, because all I see now, since that voicemail, I'm like, I see the Glee kids singing, and then it pans to Karofsky. And then, but he gets saved. He doesn't die. But the attempt is there. But it's like a super bubbly song, and he's flashing back and forth. This.
Oh, that's so grim.
Yeah, I know. That was so dark, Ed.
But it's a super poppy, happy song.
I know. No, I mean, and that would be the contrast would definitely highlight the severity of the situation, and maybe give people hope that like that's not the only way. So I don't know. That's. It'll be interesting.
He doesn't die. He doesn't die in my situation. That's
so he does get saved in your version of events, Ed.
Yeah, but like the attempt is there, but he gets saved before anything actually happens.
Does he hear the Glee
and then we
choir?
Spend the next next half season discussing it.
I'm picturing him hearing.
I know
the,
we will.
Yeah,
the three of us will.
But I can imagine him hearing the Glee choir in the background, kind of like, you know, the Grinch when he's on the top of the mountain and he thinks he's just destroyed Christmas. But then he hears the little Who voices from down the hill, and their lilting soft song kind of saves him and makes his heart grow. That type of thing.
Let's go ahead and talk a little about this, shall we? Glee is about high school, and high school is about musical, right? Musical dating, musical chairs, shall we say? How did I, that didn't come out right.
One
but Glee definitely has its share of it, and we asked people a bit on the Twitter and on the Facebook what their favorite ships were. Now, this ship term is new to Josh because I'm an old ass man. In my heart. And so ships, correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, ship is the relationship which you give a name. And then to be a shipper means that you ship a ship? Is that, am I getting this right?
I assume you're correct. I'm not like, I guess I'm just not a, As I was younger, I thought I was a hopeless romantic, but it turns out, based on my recent experiences in real life and my general lack of concern on Glee and other shows, I'm not a hopeless romantic at all. So,
well, you still are. You just, you know, I mean, on TV shows, are you? You mean in comparison to the TV shows you watch?
No, just in general. Just in like I'm just not. A hopeless romantic, apparently. Someone I work with is like, oh, I surprised my girlfriend. I took her to a barn, and we watched the stars. And I told her, we were going somewhere else. Like, I don't know. I was like, oh, that's cute. I'm like, okay, I'd rather just not do that. That's cute, I guess.
There's a different type of, you know, doing crazy stuff doesn't mean you're not a hopeless romantic or not doing crazy stuff. I mean, but I did go to Jennifer one morning and say, oh, by the way, we're leaving for Spain in 2 hours. And we did. And that was fun.
You also slipped in, please shower and pack your bag.
Hold on. So hold on. You had a trip planned for Spain?
Yes. I took it. we told this story on Idol Review ages ago. Jennifer, for her birthday, we had planned a weekend away, and I went to her on like a Thursday morning, I think, and I was like, okay, the bad news is we're not going to San Ynez. The good news is we're going to Spain for 7 days. And I had bought the tickets, and I'd planned all the hotel rooms and everything, and two hours later, we left for Spain.
That's appropriate. Like, I don't know. I guess that's appropriate, and that's good, and I can stand behind that. I don't know. Maybe I'm more about the small things and the big things, not the in-between things. I'll do the subtle things and the big things, but everything in between is like whatever. You can take care of that your own.
So the only thing I'll say on this before we get back to the shipping is this is my greatest romantic advice I can give to any human being. It's not about the size of it. It's about the spontaneity. And it's about knowing the other person so much that whatever you do is like totally directed at them. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what you do. It just has to be perfectly tailored to the other person. Like, that's where the romance is.
Yeah, not what you think is romantic. It's what you think that person is.
Exactly. I could buy Jennifer a giant diamond ring, but it wouldn't be romantic because that's not what Jennifer's into, I hope. So... that was totally self-serving. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's talk a little about ships. Now, what I wanted to do is I wanted to ask you guys about some of the biggest ships and figure out how do we feel about them at this point. And then I'll ask you each of your favorites. Because, you know, that's also a big thing. People have kind of like their wacky favorite ship and that's always great too. But what I really want to know is like, so Finchel, right? Finchel is the original Glee ship. Finn and Rachel, it's where it all began.
Yeah, Finchel, that's definitely one of the top ones for sure.
That's the top. Now, but we've been through a lot with them, and I know a lot of people have totally turned against Finchel, and they'd rather see...
It's like Bill Sookie. You're just over it. Move on.
I'm not over it. Not over it at all.
Okay, I'm not caught up. I mean... Anyhow, so
anyway, Finchel, Jennifer, at this point, after everything we've been through, how do you feel about Finn and Rachel as a couple?
Actually, they're the ones I probably feel most good about, in that maybe that they actually can help each other or actually be good for each other. Like, I think in the beginning, I think Rachel just wanted to be popular and she was doing it for the attention. And of course, she was attracted to him. But I think as their relationship evolved, breakups and, missteps and then back together and so forth, I truly believe that they have the most potential to actually, grow together in a very healthy relationship. Because a lot of the other relationships are based on either something superficial or very self-serving. So... for these guys, I'm actually pro Finchel.
Ed, how do you feel about Finchel?
I feel that Rachel needs to find someone else, someone we don't know. All the options that I have before me, I'm not happy with any of them. Rachel needs to move on. Finn, is there a Quinn Finn one? Like, those names are too similar. I can't mix
Quinn
those.
Finn one? I'm sure there's one. Someone in the chat room will tell us what Quinn and Finn is.
Finn Bray. Let's call it Finn Bray for the time
being.
That's
probably right. Wow. Yes, probably right.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, so for Finn, I'm in terms of Finn, I'm team Finn Bray. And in terms of Rachel, I'm term Rachel, find someone else.
Now, I have to ask in the chat room, they keep saying Fayberry, which I don't know who that is. But anyway, we'll get back to that. Finn, lots of people are saying.
Finn. No, I think Finn Bray is the way to go.
I think Fayberry would be Quinn and Rachel.
That'd be awesome. In my head.
Okay, Josh a moment to get this out of his.
Now, this is how I feel about Finchel. The thing is that the entire show was built on the conceit of Finn and Rachel. Like, the whole, the first five episodes are all about Finn and Rachel.
We can move on past the first episode. I mean, it was important, but that doesn't mean it's important forever. It was important for the time.
It's just that, like, for me, for their story to come full circle, for Finn and Rachel to, for those two characters to come full circle, I feel like they do need to end up together in the end, and they need to do it the right way. Like, they need to do it in a very, like, where they kind of meet in the middle. Because the issue we've been having about Finn and Rachel, the issue I've been having about Finn and Rachel is they don't really feel like, it's always Finn trying to get Rachel and Rachel kind of trying to, you know, like, it isn't a meet in the middle. It always feels like Rachel's trying to go to Finn and then Finn doesn't know what he wants. Like, that seems to be what we've had. And writing wise, I think that Finchel is a big disaster, but character wise, I feel like that's what those two characters need. Is, you know, in Rachel's case, I feel that she needs some kind of she needs someone to bring her back down to earth. And in Finn's case, he needs someone to show him what his potential is.
Okay.
And so that's
okay.
What
if,
those
if,
two characters
if
are.
I'm Team Josh on this topic, if in the world where I am Team Josh, which is not this world, I would want Rachel to date someone different for a good portion of this season, and then end up with Finn near the end, have a couple episodes of happiness, and then they both graduate. This is the only way I can accept this, because if it's constantly like, we're together, we're apart, that is not okay. Rachel needs to find someone and find out that you'd really rather be with Finn and then be happy in the end.
I totally agree. I think that would make for great television. Now, you can't mention Finchel without mentioning Puckleberry. Jennifer, do you think there's a future for Puckleberry? If Puckleberry happened, do you think, like, would that feel valid in the show? Or would it just be fun?
I think it would be... I don't even know that it would be fun. I mean, I think the shock of it all was the fun thing initially, but I just don't see it happening at all. And I think if they did, it would kind of be a cop out. It would never feel genuine to me.
Well, we've already got I don't know what you'd call Puck and Pisces.
Well, Puck and Zices is Pisces.
Oh, Pisces. That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
I just love Pisces so much that and Puckleberry, like, I feel like Puck and Rachel are our brother sister. They're not meant to be boyfriend girlfriend.
I totally agree.
There's zero chemistry. Absolutely. Because there is actually more chemistry between him and Lauren Zices. That I believe.
Yeah. I buy Pisces. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. Where are we on Clayne? Ed, where are we on Clayne?
Hopefully not focusing too much about it this season, and it just moves on happily.
You're just happy for it to continue?
Well, I would like it, ideally, if I'm working on season 3, which the Reimer has yet to call me, but I still hold that
bastard.
Hope. he said we had some email exchanges. It was almost for sure, and I'm just waiting for the contract, but it keeps getting lost in the mail. Anyways, ideally, if I was writing the season, Clayne would just be happy and in the background. It's just accepted fact of the Gleeverse right now, and like other people are, like other relationships would be the vocal point, and it would just be there happily.
I totally agree. I think that the best thing they can do for, you know, they made the statement that they wanted to make about bullying. They made the statement about, you know, self-acceptance and, you know, and Kurt's problems with the school. And it would just be nice to see Kurt and Blaine be a couple for a little while. No drama, no silliness, no, like, maybe I'm in love with Rachel, I don't know. Like,
no,
it would just be
dying.
Nice to see them be a couple and watch some other people have their fun. Jennifer?
I agree. I definitely think we've examined the major elements of this relationship, and it would be nice to see a couple function without, you know, major drama. And it would be nice to, I mean, yeah, of course there's going to be things where, you know, little stumbling blocks and, you know, maybe like milestones in the relationship, but every little inch of it doesn't need to be as closely examined as it has been.
Now, this one is going to split the room, I'm sure. Where are we on Wilemma?
Wemma?
Wemma. Ed, where are we on Wemma? How do you feel about Will and Emma at this point?
Season 2 did nothing for that storyline, in my opinion. Like, I mean, it complicated things without really resolving anything either. So, I mean, sure.
I don't know. Jennifer Wemma?
You know what? I am a very hopeful romantic. And there is a part of me that would really like to see them get together. I mean, yeah, there were some crazy things that happened in season 2. And then, you know, she gets married, but then annulled. So she still is a virgin. And I still think there's something good. Again, I hold out hope that they could be together and be in a very, you know, a functional, supportive relationship with one another. So yeah, I still got a hope. Got a little hope for them.
I'm with you, Jennifer. The way I feel about Wemma is, I cannot believe I'm a 30-odd-year-old man who just said Wemma. The way I feel about Will and Emma is like, look, it's the same way I feel about Finchel. The right, like, if these were human beings that I knew in my personal life, I would be saying the best thing for Will to do is find someone who will put him, you know, like, tell him to settle down, will give him a focus, will tell him it's okay to freak out all the time and you know, relax. And the best thing for Emma is to have a guy who really adores her and wants to help her get better and is a little pushy, but you know, knows when, where the lines are and, you know, reacts well when she tells him to back the heck off. I think that in real life, that is the right place for those two characters to get there. But Ed's totally right. Season 2 has like destroyed Will. It brought, all it did was add complications and drama and silliness. And you never saw Will become a man. Will became more of a teenager than some of the teenagers on this show in season 2. And so I want Wemma to happen. I do think that Wemma, it should happen. However, I think that like Will needs to grow the heck up. And until happens, I think Will needs to go away and just be alone.
Maybe New York will do that for him.
I would like to see that. Ed?
Unlike the luxury, if you will, that we have with Rachel, Finn, and everyone else who's a senior, is that we have to conclude these storylines, and that means we can actually come to some conclusions because
yes,
they're ending. And unlike that with Will and Emma, they'll still be here next season. So I don't see a resolution anytime soon.
Well, one more big ship before we move into some of the goofy ones. There's a bit of a triangle we have here, where we have Barty and Britannia, or Santitney, however you want to say that. And I'm going to throw in, because my personal favorite, what I would like to see, is Santosky. Jennifer, Brittany, Santitney, what do you think?
Wow.
Or I'm sorry, Barty. Santitney.
Yeah, this one is kind of troubling. And I'm sorry, Santosky.
I'll make a case for it.
Wow. Okay.
He's ready to go to the mat.
Well, then I'm going to choose my words carefully now. Okay. I think I'm more in favor of Santitney than I am Barty. I think Barty is nice and cute and all, but I don't really see anything there. I think that they kind of, if there was potential to be something really good for either of them, I think it would have happened already, and it just kind of didn't. And then it, you know, it went away. I mean, it was so fragile, and you know, Artie said one wrong thing and then it's over. I mean, granted, it was a pretty hurtful wrong thing, but it was just over and done. So I think with Britannia. That one's a little easier to say. I think with Britannia, there's, you know, there's such a solid friendship to begin with that there could actually be something really great there. I just think, you know, and I don't think the issue of, you know, the girl-girl relationship would be an issue for Brittany, because I don't think, you know, she sees boundaries like that. And I think Santana would just need to have Brittany's 100% commitment to take that step out of her image. So that one I would be more in favor of than the Bart D.
So rather than Barty, do you think it should, you would go with Tardy?
Well,
what was funny, the listeners don't get this, but what happened is Jennifer had this moment of like, what the hell did you just say? And then you totally
I totally did the dog tilt head. What? I would like to see that back again, because I think that, you know, I think they had some really great moments together in season one, and, you know, they're caring and supporting of each other's, handicaps or, you know, difficulties. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. Tina's was self-imposed and, you know, Artie can't do anything about it. But I think that there was some really great stuff there. And I think in the back of my mind, I still have what was said at Comic-Con by Tina or Jenna. And she said that, she's like, no offense, Mike, I'm really rooting for, Tina and Artie to get back together.
Yes, Artina, I think, Artina is the other one.
Yeah.
Ed, how do you feel about this triangle? Barty, Tardy, Santini, Britannia?
I pretty much agree with Jennifer on a lot of things, because Barty was built strictly because of necessity, not out of decent storyline.
Yeah.
It was strictly necessity, like, Tina and Mike Chang got together, and Artie was alone, and Brittany was alone, and everyone was pairing up. So it was built out of necessity, not storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Britannia or Satini. I prefer Britannia personally, but
yeah, it sounds more elegant.
Yeah, it's like I'm reading some kind of encyclopedia or something. I prefer that ship over Barty, because there's been legitimate storyline with that, and unlike Klain, where I felt was overexposed to the point of like, okay, let's just let them be happy and move on, I wouldn't mind a little bit more with Britannia and taking it, like, because Santana never revealed herself as gay to the world, so she could slowly come out, and then that could be a decent 3 to 4 episode story arc without being annoying, and like create a good story there. And then, because if something magic was going to happen with Barty, it would have happened. And it wasn't going to happen. It made some cute song moments, but for overall, I found them mostly disposable. So, Santofsky, I mean... I'm not going to even try, because apparently Josh is going to say something. So,
No. You already weighed in on because you supported Britannia. I agree with both of you to a point. The thing is that I don't think Barty ever worked. I thought it was kind of cute. It gave us some nice songs, like Ed said. But yeah, it never worked on a character level. You know, Artina, I guess that's better. I mean, you're right, Jennifer. We got sweeter moments from Artina than we ever got from Tina and Mike Chang, who I will call my Tina. Hmm? And go ahead.
What? Yeah, I mean, that one is just based on his abs.
Yeah.
He's just along for the ride.
But at the same time, this is my problem with Britannia Santini. And this is a huge, like, this almost has nothing to do with Glee. If Santana and Brittany get together, there's almost no way for that not to become wildly exploitative. And all of the arguments that the show tries to make about genuine relationships that no sex. If you start having... Santana and Brittany, if you start having Naira Vera and Heather Morris walking around holding hands and kissing, that is going to blow up the internet. And no one's going to be watching Glee anymore. No one's going to be talking about the characters and the relationships, all they're going to be doing is taking screen caps and like airbrushing out the clothing. I don't want to see Glee come to that. Jennifer.
I think you're a little dramatic, Josh. I'm just gonna call shenanigans now. I think all you're right. being a little dramatic, please.
Jennifer.
All right. I refer to season one when they were walking hand in hand in the halls and they were saying, you know, we're not dating. If dating, you know, if sex were dating, then, you know, whatever.
So, honestly, the trolls could already have the fan art created. They don't. It doesn't matter what they do. The fan art is already out there.
And then wasn't it this season where the beginning of season two, where the two of them are lying in bed together, and, you know, sweet girly kisses.
It's true.
In their cheerleading uniforms. I really don't know how much more they could do on network TV prime time.
I hold to my opinion. I worry that the show would become exploitative were that to take place.
Right.
That said, the reason I think Santofsky is hilarious is because I don't think we're ever going to get Karofsky to like come out of the closet, nor do I really think it's even the right thing for the show, because there is value to having a closeted gay character on the show. And you do get there's a lot of plot lines that can come from that. And quite frankly, there's a lot of honesty in the real world that can come from having a closeted gay character on the show who a couple people know is straight. I think that you could get a lot of plot out of that, and it would be really interesting. And then to pair him up with Santana, who is just freaking insane, and to just have them be this like bizarre bearded power couple is hilarious to me. I think that I would watch that show in a second.
I don't think I've ever heard bearded power couple.
I think that would be genius. Well, I'm sure there's plenty of them that you watch in movies all the time. I think that would be hilarious, Jennifer.
Okay, I have another rebuttal here. Santana had the same theory about them being a bearded power couple, and that's why they ran for prom king and queen, and they didn't win.
But if they pushed it, it would be great. It would be hilarious.
I give you that. It would be entertaining.
Because at some point, Santana would be like,
to no end.
You know, like she would try to seduce Karofsky just out of boredom, and that would make for hilarious television.
Boredom.
Anyway, before we go, we should talk a little bit about some of the crazy ones. Everybody in the chat room right now, give me your craziest ship that you can think of. A lot of people have brought up Warl, which is Will and Carl.
Okay.
I don't even know what to do with that. Someone brought up Figgins and Sue Sylvester.
That's where I was going. And I'm like, I'm scribbling. I'm like, okay, we're going to make this Sue Fig.
So let's see. Miranda on our Facebook page, she brought up Damien and Karofsky and calling it Irishofsky.
Okay. Points for that.
Yes. Let's see. What else have we got? Well, there's also Bert and Carol, which we've heard of as Kurt.
Instead of Beryl?
I don't know.
I like Beryl.
Let's see. Faba Mule. What is that?
Fabre and Samuel.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Fig Vester. That's Higgins and Sue Sylvester.
I love that one. That one's awesome.
These are called crack ships. Have you heard this term? These are called crack ships, where you just like the crazy ones that would never actually happen. Houseaholic just said her favorite crack ship is Sue and Beast. So there's lots of crazy ones out there. I'm sure that all of these have their own fan fiction. We have Puckert, Puck and Kurt, of course. Ed, any crazy ships that come to mind?
I think we've already discussed the Samuel and Quinn. I mean, that's not crazy. That's just...
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
I think that's just possible. Well, Sam and Mercedes, like, rebirth of the Sam-Sadies with the person with new Sam.
There you go. Someone had Allert, which is Alex and Kurt. Oh, someone had one with Lindsay that was kind of funny. Jennifer, did you have one? You were just waving at me.
I just IM'd it to you.
Oh, Howry? Howard and Terry? Wow, that's awesome. Let's see. Bambooster. Who is that?
Sylvester and...
And Howard Bamboo.
Okay. That's okay, that's a good one.
An idea that just pops into my head.
Go on.
Idina Menzel and Will raising Quinn's baby. Oh my god.
Oh, so someone, a lot of people brought that up in the chat room, which is called Welby. Will and Shelby.
I don't know if
Welby can exist beyond a hookup though. Like she's pretty type
A. Episode, though. That's more than friggin' Gwyneth. 9 episodes? Gosh. This could happen. This could be reality.
Jennifer just sent me Sansu. What is Sansu?
Sandy Ryerson and Sue Sylvester.
Wow.
She would eat him alive. He would love it.
Hilarious. Well, but, you know, Sandy Ryerson, that would be more like, that would be like Sunil. Or, I don't know. I'm not good at this, Sandy and Will. That's just weird. Okay, that just disturbed me.
Well,
a lot of people are saying Pinsy for Puck and Lindsay.
Why does that disturb you?
No. Sandy Ryerson and Will kind of disturbed me.
Why did you say it then?
Because it's weird. As it came to my head. Well,
make it go away.
If you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast. You can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com. Oh, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us online. Send us a voicemail if you'd like to share your craziest ships and why you like them. What your favorites are. You can find the voicemail on our website at gleefulpodcast.com. Yes, Ed, before we go, would you like to share any iTunes reviews?
Yes, Happy Cookie 18, Alexander Sting, and US Janique 73. Thank you for your reviews.
You can yes, please
review. Are we really awesome. Listening to Afternoon Delight right now? Is that really happening?
I thought it was appropriate.
Oh yeah.
Apparently, Damien and Lindsay is Damsey, which is fun. Everybody said R.I.P. Sam Sadies. Sam Sadies would have been great.
I agree.
I think Sam Sadies would have been great.
It can be reborn.
Yes. Huh? Oh, totally, totally.
But let's just. Oh my god! Hilarious possibility that will never happen. Just pretend that new Samuel is just old Sam. And just pretend.
Oh my god, like the total Bewitch switch.
Awesome. Houseaholic had Dameron, which I think is Damien and Cameron. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh Jen and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed. Oh, I don't know. Peace out. Whatever. Awkward. Shocker.
I gotta say a big thanks to Jennifer now, because the whole favorite relationships idea was totally her idea.
Yay!
That was like a great. That was a great
After
show.
After 2 years, I've contributed.
That was a great show.
Thanks, it was fun. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together makes the sparks ignite. And the thought of rubbing you is getting so excited.
And now, Ed will speak for 30 seconds on Big Brother.
I will? Well, I'm very sad that Danielle left. For real. For real. I love Danielle. But Georgiel is taking over the house thanks to Pandora's Box, thankfully. And honestly, there are many scenarios where Rachel could actually win. A Georgiel finale, a Rachel Adam finale, or a Rachel Shelley finale. Who's going to win? Rachel. Now, so Rachel Shelley, Rachel Kalia, maybe. And that's the crazy thing. That's the crazy thing. Rachel might win. Think about that.
This has been 30 Seconds with Ed talking about Big Brother.
Awkward.